in the Gospel of Mark. Greek reading and research by induction. Okay? 331. Kai erkete. Hei mater. Autu kai hoi adelphoi. Autu kai exo ste contes. Apostolon. Pros auton. Kulontos auton. Kai. What is that word there, Brother Roger?
A conjunction.
A conjunction. What would be the equivalent in Hebrew? What would be the equivalent in Hebrew on page 253? All right. That little thing there translates into this thing right here. 208 in Greek and 253 in what?
It is 321. It's 331.
331, yes. 331. Kai erkete. And then look at this. And it is third person. Well, it's third person singular, present indicative middle voice. What's the middle voice say, Brother Roger? He's doing it for himself because of his volition, his own volition and will. What would that be in, what would this idea be in Hebrew? What would be the grammatical?
Cohortes and
Jussi. Cohortes and Jussi. All right. We always have personal volition, don't we? Pay attention to that real much. And he comes, or actually, she comes, the mother of him, third person, singular, present, indicative, middle. She comes because she wants to see him. This is the familia before and the autu, okay, because it's going to say that again. So this is probably, because this sentence here, that's probably who that was before belonging to him. And she comes, a mother, hey mater. Mater, that's mother, isn't it? Is this his mother? Who is this? Brother Steve, who is this person?
His mother.
Who is she?
Mary.
Mary. All right. Mary, the wife of?
Joseph.
Okay. That's who it is. Now, did she have more children than Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. The Catholic Church denies that, don't they? How about that, Pamela? Did the Catholic Church deny that?
Yes.
Well, we're going to find out. Catholic Church lying right here. Okay. And she comes, a mother of him. Look at that out too there. What case is that in, Cindy?
Genitive
case. The mother belonging to him. Is that his mother? Is that actually his mother? And then, and, another conjunction. And, hoi adelphoi. Hoi adelphoi. Who is that? Hoi adelphoi. Hoi adelphoi. What?
Brothers
from the same womb.
From the same
womb. Mm-hmm. Why? Decline that for me, Cindy.
Nominative plural masculine.
Okay. Now, tell me, give me the root of adelphoi. Where does it come from? How does it break down? What does it mean?
Adelphos.
Adelphi is what? That means what? Delphi. That means womb. Okay. Ah means what? Roger? From the same womb. Adelphos and adelphoi means from the same womb. Okay. Some from the same womb. So these are his real brothers from the same mother, are they not?
Mm-hmm.
What does the Bible say? Now, how does the Catholic Church get around this? Tell me how they do it. They do. Huh?
Sisters mentioned.
Well, the sisters are mentioned also.
I know.
How?
Joseph was previously married, and these are like leftover stepbrothers and sisters.
That Mary adopted.
Yeah.
But what does it say here?
No.
They're from the same womb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now what else do they say? You know what ex cathedra means?
Ex what?
Ex cathedra. It means that the Pope can interpret this for them. And if this says one thing, he can correct it. Because he is an apostle of God. I'm talking about the Catholic Church. He is a living apostle of God, so he can... The scriptures are in flux. The doctrine of the Catholic Church are in flux. They change their doctrines as they go, which whatever they wish at the time. And tomorrow I'm teaching church history at 11 o'clock, so we'll look at that. And we'll see the evolution of theology and the evolution of all of this. Okay, we're going to talk about this a little bit much later in the church history classes. So these are the brothers from the same womb of him, and then exo out here means outside of. Outside of. They're standing out of doors, okay? Having stood, nomine plural masculine, perfect participle, active, having stood. And then it says, and they sent. Look at that word, apostolon, apostolon. What does that mean there, Cindy? You remember that word there? We're getting some review here. How about apostolon? It's third person plural, first aorist, indicative, active, but what does it mean? They sent from him, but what? How? How did they do this? Did they use somebody else? What did they do? What does apostolos mean? What does it mean?
An apostle?
Uh-huh. Apostolos.
So a stand-in for someone?
What is apostle? What is apostle?
Sharon.
Someone that's sent out with very special authority. In other words, they're deputized. In some way, they're deputized. They are deputized. They have authority. So they sent someone toward him. And calling him, nominative plural masculine, present participle, active, calling him. And the word altone there, tell me about altone. Altone. Marilyn, you know anything about altone yet? Altone. Omicron nu on the end of it tells you.
Accusative.
That's right.
Singular, masculine, third person, pronoun.
You get an A++++. Remind me, you know, about the Christmas story with that Ralphie? A++++++++. You got it all. All right. Now, it doesn't all write that down, or she had to know what that meant. So she did very well. Now, A.T. Robertson says, he had a parabolic picture of Jesus' mother and his brothers and sisters standing on the outside of the house, thinking that Jesus is in the house, and he's nuts. Okay? Because they have had messengers go to them. So now they've got some deputized scribe or somebody that's going to go in there and question him to make sure he's not nuts. Okay? He's crazy. Everybody says he's crazy. Who's everybody? Does Mary go to church? Does she go to synagogue?
Yes.
Do you think that they're talking in Nazareth, they're talking about this crazy boy of hers now?
Uh-huh.
Because they're saying that he's nuts, don't they? He's crazy. He's beside himself. Now in verse 32. So are we getting the rest of the picture that you asked about now?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. We don't have any doubts of who this is, do we?
No.
Okay.
So my question is, when it says, and his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. So they sent a third person.
Yes, they deputized somebody to go in there, probably a scribe.
Oh.
Probably a scribe.
See, in just English, you missed that.
Yes.
You think it's just them going.
Apostolos is the word. Apostolio. They sent with authority. They used some big shot to go in there and to check him out. Okay, 332. Kai. Ek atheto. Peri. Auton. Oklos. Kai. Legusen. Auto. Edu. He mater. Su. Kai. Hoi. Adelphoi. su exo setusin si. And then Westcott and Hort adds, kai he adelphi su. Because some of the ancient manuscripts had that. Now, the Catholic Church had a lot to do with this because they had it removed. Sometimes things are removed from the scriptures later on, aren't they?
Well, Mark is the oldest manuscript found.
Mark is the first gospel.
And it was found in the Qumran cave.
It was part of it was found in the Qumran cave. Yes, you would remembered.
Okay, so since this part they're saying Westcott and Hort is saying this, how far back does this that they have said should be in there? How far back did that go?
They think that it was kept out for a while.
So do they have an old manuscript?
Yes, they have an old manuscript that this is in it.
And do they have a manuscript dated before that with this not in it?
I can't tell you exactly, you know, because I have forgotten. Because I have had two or three strokes and arsenic poisoning and all these other things. And I'm 70 years old on top of all of that. At one time I could have told you the century and everything, but I don't know right now. If I had my apparatus here, we could look at it and tell you. Because the apparatus tells that. What is an apparatus, Sharon? You remember?
Everything about
every verse. It tells you what's left out, when what century it came in, and everything. That's an apparatus, Brother Roger.
So who are these? What is the Westcott?
Westcott and Hort were Bible scientists.
Okay.
They got a bad name because of King James only. They say they weren't saved, that they were unbelievers and all kinds of stuff because they disagreed with the Textus Receptus or Stephen's text. Because they said it wasn't accurate, because it was a conglomeration of all other manuscripts, and plus it wasn't Greek anyway, was it? Where did it come from? Cindy, you remember where Textus Receptus come from? How about you, Christine? You remember where Textus Receptus came from? You're next, Steve.
No.
Steve. Marilyn.
It came from Greek and Hebrew.
No.
Latin Vulgate.
The Latin Vulgate. Thank you very much. You got an A++++. The Latin Vulgate. It was translated from the Latin Vulgate. It didn't come from Greek or Hebrew at all.
And the Latin Vulgate was not correct.
The Latin Vulgate was Jerome translated that. All right. And he used Greek manuscripts and everything, but he did not discriminate whether they were bogus or not or any scriptures at all. He made no effort at all to find out what was really there and what wasn't in the original manuscripts. And Westcott and Hort went back and they traced the family of manuscripts. Now, since then, we've had even more critical research. The Nestle-Allen text. The Nestle-Allen text is just like Jesus, and all of these are just like the words. They tell you exactly where every word was and everything is, okay? Now, at this time, I want to tell you something. I was translating and copying this from Westcott and Hort. Okay? This manuscript is Westcott and Hort. Because that's the Bible that I had at that time was Westcott and Hort. That's why I wrote this down here. But I wrote it at the end, as you see. And kept on setting down and kept on setting around him. All right, kept on sitting around him. Peri means around, doesn't it? Little old preposition. The Latin for that would be what? The Latin. Cindy, you know what the Latin for that would be?
Carica.
Carica. And that's where we get circle. Okay, that's where we get circle is carica. Around him, look at him there, Cindy. What about him? Alton.
Accusative singular masculine third person pronoun.
All right, accusative singular masculine third person pronoun. And then oklos. Tell me about oklos, Brother Steve. Tell me about oklos. How many people's in oklos, Christine?
5,000 to 10,000.
5,000 to 10,000 people. How many are around him?
So 5,000 to 10,000 people.
Oklos means 5,000 to 10,000 people. We have evidence that that's what it means. What does okloi mean?
That's over 10,000.
10,000 plus. 10,000, 15,000. How many people were around the Sea of Galilee? Galilee means what?
Circle.
Ketaka. Galilee means circle. All right. How many people were around there in those cities? 150,000. So how many people are here? 5,000 plus are around him. They keep on standing around him.
Now, where was he that they sent someone in?
He was in somebody's house.
So he's in a house.
And a while ago, he was in Peter's house. Okay? Around him, a crowd, this 5,000 to 10,000 people, and they say, can you, that's third person plural, present indicative active. Who can conjugate that for me? Cindy, can you conjugate present indicative active?
Nope.
How about Roger? Conjugate present indicative active. Marilyn. Sharon. Okay. O. Say O. H A. Omen. U C A. Okay. All right. We got it. And that looking, that new on the end of that, Cindy, what's that called?
A movable.
A movable new, because it may be there for, or may not be there according to euphony. And then they say to him, dative singular mass and third person pronoun, behold, look, pay attention. Behold, pay attention, the mother. Who is this guy? All these people around him. Hey, your mother's here. The mother of you and the brothers of you. They are from the same womb as you. Okay? Now, today, we call each other in churches brothers and sisters, don't we? Because why? What?
If you're a believer.
If you're a believer. If you're a believer, we call each other brother and sister because basically we're birthed from our mother, but where are we birthed the second time? From above. Okay, so we have the same father, don't we? The brothers of you outside, they are seeking you. And then Kai, He, Adelphi, Su, and the sisters of you. What does the word sisters mean? Adelphi.
From the same womb?
From the same womb. All of them from the same womb. These are Jesus' real brothers and sisters. There's at least 5 to 6 of them. Okay, all together. She had several kids. What? I know I made the Pope mad at me tonight. Absolutely. I know he's angry at me for sure. He'll probably ex cathedral me out of heaven. And I'm not going to worry one bit about it because he doesn't have any authority anyway. I don't care how many people like him. Kai. Apokrites, altois, legay, tis estem, he mater, mu kai, hoi adelphoi, mu. And, having caught up in speech, or having responded to them, he says, this is a little interrogative, pronominal adjective. Who? It is the mother of me and the brothers of me. Who are they? Who are they? Who are these people? Who are my mothers and who are my brothers? Who are they?
He's being sarcastic.
What?
He's being sarcastic.
Yeah, that's right. Who are they? Who are my mothers and who are my brothers? And then he's going to tell them who they are. Kai, peri blepsalmenos, tus peri auton, kiklo, kathemenus, lege, ede, he mater, mu ke ha adelphoi mu. And having looked around, how come why is this punctiliar in action, this having looked around? Cindy, you know why it's punctiliar in action? Why did I say having looked around? It comes from blepo and peri.
Because he did it like...
What?
Because he did it like... He already knew what this
was. It's participle, isn't it?
Yeah, but he already knew they were there.
Huh?
He already knew they were there.
Yeah, but in the grammar of this participle here, how do we know it was punctiliar in action? Real punctiliar in action.
I don't know.
Sharon. Why don't we know this is...
Well, they did it.
Tell me why. I want to know why.
Is it the heiress?
That's right. You got it. You got an A+. Okay. It's first heiress. First heiress is extremely punctual.
Look at the word and tell me what in the word means that. I knew that.
I'm just making you think, okay? Think. Grammar. When you're interpreting grammar, okay?
Well,
nominative singular masculine, first aorist, participle, active.
So is there, how many aorists are there? First, second?
First and second aorists. Okay. And there's perfect tense also. Okay. And pluperfect.
What perfect?
And optative. Okay. We haven't gone there lately, okay. And having looked around... The ones around him. Now, the ones around him, we know that the word at is not there, but it's talking about, so we can put at in there as a practical substantive, as a stand-in, because it's actually there. Having looked around the ones around him. Look at that, but tus peri auton. The ones there, ones also is a practical substantive, because it, all it says is does. Having looked thus, that's literally what it says. Having looked thus, but you have to put in at the ones. At the ones. Around him in a kuklo. There's a Greek word named for a person called kuklos. Out there in Lakeside, we had a superintendent out there and a principal out there. His name was Kuklos. And I said, your name means circle. Because it does. Circle. Sitting. Nominative singular masculine, present participle, active. Sitting. And he says, look, the mother of me and the brothers of me. Look, you're my mother and you're my brothers. You are the ones that are my mother and brothers. You're the ones that's going to carry on what I have commissioned. 335.
Okay, hold on. So I understand what he said, but why he said it, was it because I know the church was already established.
Yes.
Well, maybe not established, but
it was already there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So is this him affirming that, you know, the ones that accepted me as their Savior, you're in my family?
That's right.
That's
my family. You're my family. You're my family.
Okay.
Now let's look here also. Now the church has already begun, but it's in flux. It's in training.
Right.
Okay? Now, what did Jesus do that just totally changed and disrupted the whole order of the Judaism?
The Passover.
Yeah, that's right. The Passover was what? A family thing. And what's Jesus going to do with the Passover?
Take it out of the family.
He's going to take it away from the family and give it to the church. And he's going to name it the Lord's Supper. Different. A whole different story. Okay.
So is this right here connected to that, setting up for that?
Everything's connected.
I know it is.
Everything's connected.
I just need to make a connection in my brain.
Yeah, it's all there. Okay. He is step by step. This is what we call continual and revelation as it goes, and it is building up. He's building a foundation, and then he's going to give us a parable very real soon. We're going to have a parable about the kingdom of God. Cindy, you got a question?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. And then 335. Hos gar on poese to thelema to theu aut hutos adelphos mu kai adelphi kai mater esten. Let's look here. Why do we put sisters before? Why do we put sisters before? Why did Westcott and Hort put sisters in there? Because it's in some of the old manuscripts, and why else? Because of sin tax. That's not a tax on sin. Okay, sin tax. And here is a sin tax that calls for that. For who? That is nominative singular masculine, relative pronoun, and it's individual. This is nominee singular masculine, so it means each one. For each one, whoever shall do, and look at this, Cindy, I want you to conjugate poiesse. Poiesse, conjugate that for me, would you please?
Third person singular, first aorist, subjunctive, active.
Why is it in subjunctive mode?
May or may not happen.
And how, what does that depend upon, Sharon?
Volition.
Who makes that? Does God in eternity past? Remember, superlapsarian, antilapsarian, infralapsarian, sublapsarianism? Okay? We got that? All right. Anti or superlapsarian says God, before he did anything else, he decreed to create the damned, the reprobate, and the elect. Period. They also say that that the elect will be called by irresistible grace, and that they will kept into the will of God by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. That's irresistible grace. Okay. Can the grace of God be resisted? If it can't, then why is this not in the indicative mode instead of the subjunctive? Because it is cohortive and jussive. It is volition. Whoever. Fourth class conditional. Condition undetermined with a remote prospect of determination. Whoever will. How many people get saved in the world? The majority?
No.
Hope of doubtful affirmation? That's even correct, isn't it? Well, is it or not? Fourth class conditional. Whosoever, that little group that will believe the will of the God, look at that, thelemata, or thelema. Brother Roger, thelema, tell me about that. What does that mean? What have I taught you about thelema? Thelema. Ephesians, first chapter.
I don't know.
Cindy.
The purpose of will? Because he's talking about subjunctive mode.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it be the permissive will of God?
Mm-hmm. The what will of God, Cindy? Sharon?
I don't know.
Spiritual activating force. Spiritual activating force. What made God want to do anything? For God so what?
Love
the cosmos that he gave his only begotten Son. So whosoever believes. All right. The spiritual activating force of the God, whoever obeys that. And this one, Alhutos, this one here, up close, he says, this one, the brother of me and the what? Adelphi. Sister of me. Did he have sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he had sisters. Were they there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in this part where it says, he is my brother and my sister and my mother, that's
uh-huh.
not using the from the same womb, or is it?
Yeah. Why are they from the same womb? When you're born the first time, you're born of your mother. When you're born the second time, you're born from above, which is another womb. The rejection of the firstborn. We talked about that this morning in my sermon, the rejection of the firstborn. Who was rejected? Who was the first person rejected that was the firstborn in the Bible?
Cain.
All right. Who is another one? Esau. All right. Were they rejected because God hated them? Yeah. God hated them. He hated them. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Why did he hate Esau? He ordained him to be that way? He predestined him to be that way or what?
He knew.
Because he knew he would be that way. Okay. Number 4 and verse 1, chapter 4. Kai Pauline, exato, didaskein, para, tain, thalassa, thalasson, kai, sin agete, pros, auton, oklos, pleistos, hoste, auton, eis, ploion, imbata, katheste, in te talase, kai pas ho oklos, pros tein thalasan, epites geis eison. You know what part of the Gospel of Mark they found that made a difference? Epites geis. Because this place had so changed that they didn't know where it was. So he specified epites geis. The first Gospel of Mark didn't have epites geis on it. All right, now it wasn't in the same place, but that's it. Epites geis upon the land. Let's go back. And again, that word again, Matt, that's a redundant thing. And again, it's a little adverb. Again, an adverb of time, so to speak. And then he began. Third person singular first aorist indicative, middle voice, Cindy.
Do it for yourself.
He did it for himself. And then didaskein. Now let's go and conjugate this verse. Didasko. O, eis, didaskeis. All right. Didaske. Didaskomen. Diskatete. And diska usen. And diska ein, which is infinitive. Present indicative active. Present infinitive active. To teach. He did it a lot, didn't he? To do. He kept on to teach beside the sea. Beside the sea. And that's Galilee. And Galilee means circle. And is assembled. Third person singular, present indicative passive. And was assembled toward him a crowd. Oklos. How many is this crowd now, Christine?
10,000.
Oh, close.
Oh, over 10,000.
No. Oh, close.
Five
to 10,000.
Sorry.
Okay, you got that, Stephen? It's there.
Slowly.
It's there. And then we have the word pleistos. Now, usually it's polus. But here it's pleistes. And that's nominally singular masculine adjective from kolus, which means a big bunch. A very large crowd. So as him, and then we have the word ace there. Give me the grammatical rule of ace. Roger.
Extension or limitation of thought and verbal action.
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. You know, people listen to these classes and they say, boy, your students are really smart. They do.
They're really smart.
You are really smart. I got a professor here. Yeah, you are really smart. I've driven it in, haven't I? That's it. Ken Blinn went back to the Louisville Seminary, went back there and was taking Greek, and when they were talking about prepositions, they said, ace, wrote on the board. He said, extension, limitation, of thought of verbal action. He said, the teacher said, what? What? That's what it's talking about. Extension.
What does that actually mean?
Well, I did it before.
I know.
You want me to do it again?
Is it the one where it goes up, upon, under, over?
That's right.
Through?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. You
so
want to say it?
So what does that mean in this?
Okay. Here is the object. Okay. Pros. Pros means what?
Two.
Okay. Epi?
Upon.
All right. In? In it. All right. Hepo.
Under.
Okay. Ace.
Ace is
extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. It takes in the whole grammatical rule. It can mean because of. It can mean through, upon, in passing the whole thing, or out and beyond.
So it encompasses
everything. That ace is a really neat little preposition. Page 119, by the way, if it's not written down, and I don't think it is.
So where does that fit into this verse?
He goes in a boat.
Are you saying if we use more aces in our vocabulary, we would cover more thought in the process?
In the English, you can't do that. It's too crippled. Greek is not crippled. English is crippled when it comes to that. Unto the boat. Right here it means what? Unto the boat. In the boat. In reference to the boat. And then it says, M. Bonta. And that means to step into and embark. To board a ship. How many of you ever boarded a ship? Anybody here ever boarded a ship? Okay. Boarded a ship. You board a ship. Accusative singular masculine. Second aorist participle. Having embarked. To set. To set. Look at that word to set there. That's present infinitive. Okay, active. To set. In the sea. The boat set in the sea. In the sea. And all ho-oklos. And all the what? How many people are here? Brother Steve? Oklos. How many is that?
Over 10.
No. 5 to 10,000. Over 10,000 would be what?
Right.
Okloi. Okloi. But this is oklos. The crowd toward the sea upon the land. Epitaskes. They kept on being. They continued to be. Kept on causing to be. What caused them to stay there?
The water.
The water. They didn't want to go swimming. Old Peter did one time, didn't he? He jumped out of the boat and swam to shore when he saw Jesus over. One time he jumped out of the boat and wanted to walk on the water just like Jesus did. And did it for a little while. 4 and verse 2. Are you enjoying this? You learning something from it? Kai. Adad Askei. Autus en parabales pala kai elegain autois en te didaske autu. Let's look at this now. And he kept on instructing them. He kept on teaching them. Third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active. He kept on teaching them. This is continuous action. Them. How about them there? Who knows how to conjugate that little fellow? Not conjugate, but decline it. How can you decline that? Cindy. Okay. Okay. Accusative singular masculine. Why it's singular? Why is this singular when we're talking about a whole bunch of people?
Because we're talking about the crowd as one.
That's right. There you go. Grammatical rule. The crowd is a unit. The crowd is a unit. I wanted to. You just got that so quick, girl. Fast. The crowd
first
is a unit. Errors. What?
First
error. Yes, it's yeah. A plus. Nice to have a professor in the land, in the group. In parabales, parabales, parabales. How does that word parabales? Where does it come from? Give me the etymology of that. Para and balo. Balo means I what? We get a word ball from it.
I throw.
That means balo means I throw. Balo, bales, balay, baloma, baletti, balusi, balang. See there? You did it again. There we conjugated that baby. Huh?
I think you're the one.
Well, we're trying to get this across. You did get extension or limitation of our verbal action. I was hoping you might get one at least the present indicative active now. I haven't gone to imperfect. First errors, poo perfect, or anything else. I haven't challenged you with that yet. And he kept on teaching them in parabolais. Parabolais means to throw down beside, doesn't it? Para and balo. Throw down what? You throw down so they can understand a physical thing. Physical. Okay? Physical. How could you describe evangelism? How did Jesus describe evangelism? How did he describe it? How did he describe it? What was a parable that he used?
Therefore, go.
Well, that's not really what it says. Not in Greek, anyway. As after you've been thrown out, after you've been cast out, because that was a prophecy. Okay, what is the parable that Jesus used?
The parable of the seed. When he threw the
seed
out?
I don't think that's it.
No, that's what we're asking about. What did Jesus use as a parable of evangelism? I will make you fishers of men. I'm going to make you fishermen. What do you do with a fisherman? You go out there and use a lure or a net or something and you catch fish. I'm going to make you fishers of men. You've been fishers of fish for a long time, but now you're going to be fishers of men. They're going to be anglers of men.
See, now, I would have taken that as discipleship, not evangelism.
Well,
you would have said, what does he do to make disciples?
No. Disciples you teach.
Well, yeah. They don't know how to fish for men.
Yeah. But, okay, well, the parable that he used for evangelism is fishing.
Okay.
Fishing. And then, church members, you make disciples. And after you make disciples of them, you baptize them. And then what do? You teach them all things, to guard with their lives all things. And then you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you do what else? You teach them to guard with their lives all things that I've handed down to you. That's that is discipleship. That's what you are. You're being disciples tonight. He kept on teaching them in parables. Many, many parables. He used the parable of, I'll make you fishers of men, didn't he? But then it goes out and he picks one parable here that he used because this parable is so dynamic. And that's the parable of the sower. But he used many parables. He said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. Is that a parable? Mm-hmm. Okay, now what kind of a parable is it? It's a funny parable. It's a weird parable. What kind is it? It's a what?
Hyperbole.
A hyperbole, which it means an exaggeration. Did Jesus ever exaggerate? Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
This was a parable of exaggeration. All right? You strain out the gnat, but you swallow down the camel. Is that another parable?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But what is it? It's a hyperbole, which is a impossible thing. Possibility. You strain out the gnat and swallow down the camel. Strain out the gnat, they strained out the gnats out of their water and their wine. Because the gnat was an unclean animal. But you swallow down with one gulp a camel? A camel was an unclean animal also, but I'm going to tell you something. I've never seen anybody. I've seen sword swallowers. I've seen people that chew up glass and glass bulbs and eat it and swallow it, you know, supposedly. I've seen all these weird things. But I've never seen anybody swallow a camel whole. Hair, hide, and all, and hooves.
I had a few bites of one. It didn't taste good.
I had ate camel yogurt gravy one time.
Camel meat. That's
they milk those camels over there just like cows over here, don't they?
Oh.
Yeah. That Marilyn, you would love camel yogurt. If you put a little sugar and whipped cream on top of it or something, I don't. And he kept on teaching them in parables many, and he kept on saying to them in teaching of him, in instruction. This is the word where you get dogma. This is the word you get doctrine from. He kept on teaching them doctrine. So many churches today say we do not teach doctrine. I don't agree with that. If you teach anything, salvation is doctrine, isn't it? Soteriology, baptism. All of these things, Lord's Supper, what? What? The church?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Preservation of the saints.
Prayer. Mm-hmm. These are all doctrines. How do you pray? How do we pray differently than what Catholics pray? Who do you pray to?
Father.
Pray to the Father. By whose authority?
Jesus'
authority. That's right.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, our Lord.
I got a quick question.
Yes.
How do you determine fine doctrine, and how do you determine it? Is there a book that's written just doctrine?
So yes. I wrote the Doctrines of the Bible. I wrote a book about 40 years ago called The Doctrines of the Bible.
And so it breaks down each doctrine of the Bible?
It breaks down the doctrine, yes.
It's great. It's a little workbook. You should get it.
Yeah, it's a workbook. What does this say? Write that down.
Mm-hmm.
The doctrine of giving. All these doctrines, it's all there. You've got it right there. There it is. Cindy, could you hold that up and show that to him? I think I gave you one once upon a time.
I think I got it at home.
Okay, there it is. The doctrines of the Bible. I did that about 40 years ago. I made my students go through that before they became teachers. Before they became teachers in class, they went through that. That way they had the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they had the answers. It's not very good. I mean, I'm getting old and decrepit and stupid and senile and all that kind of stuff. So I don't have all your answers anymore, but I got some of them.
That leaves room for improvement.
Yeah. I'm improving that way. I'm on the slippery slide. Okay?
No, you're not.
One guy here a while back, when I was teaching, and this was probably 5 years ago, and he just totally blew me away. And I showed, or they listened to me preach a lesson about 40 years ago. I gave them just a little excerpt from that. And I said, that's when I was on my prime. And he looked at me and he said, no, it's not. You're in your prime right now. And I realized that I was. Except maybe that was. Okay. I do know a lot more. I don't have the recall. I don't have it anymore. It's gone. But I do have a good education in the Bible and in many things. So I can share that with you. And extension or limitation of thought or verbal action and this, which I don't know whether they even get there. That'd be advanced reading and research. But I teach you advanced reading and research by what? Induction. You do it. And you do learn it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You learn it. You get it. Well, we'll start next week with number 3. Do you have any questions? Where did I start this week? 31 to 4 and verse 2. Okay. And what is the date?
26?
I looked in here one time when I was teaching this class in the seminary. It was 1975. That's a long time ago. 40-something years ago I was teaching this. I was the assistant Hebrew and Greek advanced reading and research teacher. Even though when I began that, I was a first-year student in the seminary. That was a few years before 75. Boy, that was something.
Yeah, I've got a few memory recall problems, but I remember you teaching this in 1999. And then when you brought the doctrines up, I remember you giving me that book back then. And probably
what'd you do with it? Yes, yes, Chris.
The Doctrines of the Bible booklet, you, like a couple months ago, you had given a sheet because one of them you didn't put in there.
Oh, sanctification. I did actually 3 or 4 more doctrines plus on that. I do think I have them at home.
You have the papers?
I think I have the paper. I think Ray's teaching from it right now because he asked me for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to get that to add to my book.
Your collection? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a small nominal fee.
That's fine. I'll pay it. I do not mind.
All right. That was a joke, actually. Anything else before I turn you loose on the world? Did you learn something tonight?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you learn?
Lots of stuff that I didn't realize was in that verse.
Yeah. It's there in the original language. Is it any place else? Translations or explanations?
Mm-hmm.
All right. They're what?
I got questions.
Interpretations, yes.
When Jesus' family came and then they said, well, maybe he's out of his mind, and then they had were they trying to prove that he wasn't, like, or were they not sure themselves?
They weren't around, were they?
So they hadn't seen
James? Him. James and Jude and Judas and or Judah and all of those, they weren't around yet, were they? They had not accepted him yet. Until after his resurrection, they did not know that he was the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
All he was the tattletale, you know.
See, that's the perfect one.
I hear and I understand and I get it, but it still baffles me. They grew up with him.
That's right.
Didn't they know that he was perfect, that he didn't ever do anything wrong?
What parable did Jesus give concerning that?
Something about a prophet in his own land.
Yeah, a prophet in his own fatherland is not a prophet.
So let me help you in your thinking, right?
The
you
prophet.
You got kids, right? Okay. They know you're their mother, right? But they don't know, do they? They weren't there, but they were there, right? Wait, no, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. See it from the kid's point of view instead of the mother's point of view. So they know you're the mother, and they know that they weren't there at the birth, but they was there at the birth, right? But you were there at the birth, so you can verify.
Well, some of them were there.
The authority saying, hey, you are my child.
They don't complain about her being their mother, Brother Steve. Right? I can tell you what those kids complain about. She works them too hard. The same thing as my kids did. Because she taught them how to work. If you want to know how to work, watch that woman. Watch her. You went out there and you worked with them, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. They sure you weren't shirking your duty at all. You were right out there teaching them how to work. I've seen her do it. All right. Yes, Brother Roger.
I have one question.
Yes.
The book that you reference every now and then on the blood, the name and the author?
Okay. The Chemistry of the Blood by M.R. DeHaan, Dr. M.R. DeHaan. The Chemistry of the Blood.
Like G-I-H-A.
The Chemistry. Yeah, The Chemistry of the Blood by M.R. DeHaan.
How are you saying the last name?
DeHaan? I think it's D-E-H-A...
U-N?
U-N or something like that. Okay. DeHaan. If you go on Google, write down The Chemistry of the Blood by... And then it'll pop up right before you could even do it. It'll pop it up. And that is probably one of the most delightful, informative books that you can possibly lay your hands on. It's good. And another set of books that you might read that'll blow you away, and I'm going to teach one of them one of these days. And there are several. I think I've got five of those books. And that is by The Triumph of the Crucified, by Eric, I can't think of it. Eric Sauer. The Triumph of the Crucified, From Eternity to Eternity, The Arena of Faith, and there's a whole lot of those books, but every one of them is a revelation of tremendous monumental weight. That's all I can say. Lee Kuster one time asked me, he said, I read books and I get this much out of a book. I get one page of information out of a book. I said, read one of Eric Sauer's books. See how much information you get. He said, wow! Wow! Eric Sauer knew the languages, number one.
Mm-hmm.
He got things were tremendous, tremendous. Eric Sauer, you study those. Anything else?
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm reading Revelation just on my own as a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just read Scripture.
Yes.
And so I know there is a distinction, but I'm having a hard time distinguishing between the Antichrist, Satan, the beast, and the dragon.
Okay, the dragon is the devil.
Okay,
the dragon is the devil. That's the one that wallowed around there in the floor of Pharaoh, the Tanin.
Right.
The dragon, the snake. The staff became a dragon there, okay? And then the Antichrist?
I know the Antichrist is a human that...
He is a human son of Satan.
Right, okay. So I got that. But then the...
The beast?
The beast.
Okay, the beast. The beast is a... like an animal or hysterion in there, and it means a swift-running... Well, let me just tell you this from the Islamic point of view, okay? The Islamic point of view tells you very plainly what it is. The Mahdi is the Antichrist, okay? The Mahdi, and that's the son of Satan that we talk about. And, of course, that's the embodiment of Muhammad. And they have the beast that comes out of Arabia, okay? The Mahdi comes out of Syria. The beast comes out of Arabia. And the beast is a weird-looking thing with a cow, the head of a cow, the horns of a ram, the ears of a pig, the eyes of a pig, and a tail of a ram, long feet like a camel, and he's 20 feet between his joints and all of that. This is a beast. This is a beast, okay? This is a beast. And then what is the false prophet? We have the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. Who is the false prophet in Islam?
Jesus.
He's Jesus. He's a different Jesus than we have. Different Jesus. Because this Jesus comes forth and does what?
The first thing he does is kills the Jews. The second thing he does is what? He kills all the Christians. Okay. So there that is. So we have three entities. We have the unholy Trinity.
Yeah, because in Revelation it talks about the woman on the back of the beast and then the dragon.
Okay, the woman is the false religious system.
Okay.
On the back of the beast. The beast is carrying her.
And then they say that they throw the beast and the false prophet in the bottomless pit, but Satan is still running around.
They're down here in hellfire. The first inhabitants of hellfire.
So the beast is just really a beast? It's just really an animal?
I can't tell you. But the beast is a system of teaching. Islam is not a religion. Islam is a what?
Political.
It's a political denomination is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sharia law. It is not a religion. Okay? And the beast is the one that enables the false religious system of the Antichrist, which is what we might call the Mahdi or whatever. All right? The Mahdi has the beast help him. The beast in the book of Revelation marks all of the true believers in Satan. The beast in Islam marks all the true believers in Allah. Okay? You got that? Does that help you?
It's like coffee. I got it.
Okay.
Just a little.
A little bit. Okay, well, listen to those classes that I did on the kingdom studies.
Okay.
Because I go through the whole book of Revelation. I went through the whole book of Revelation in there.
Yeah.
So read it as you go, I think, from about number 35 on to 66 or something like that.
Okay.
Go down there and listen to it. Watch it, whatever you want to do. It's all there. Anything else? Go out and do something eternal. Let's be dismissed in prayer. Pamela, you've been sitting over there not bothered all evening long. You thought you were going to get by with it, didn't you? You want to lead us in prayer?